And I'm excited about it. And I hope that you are excited about it. I know that the Lord has a lot of great things in store for our church. At least I hope that you believe that. I know I believe that with all of my heart. And there are going to be changes, but I believe there'll be positive changes. I believe the Lord is going to do good things. And this morning we're going to talk about the future. The two verses of scriptures that I'd like us to look at, one of them is the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 8. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 7. And the other is a story from the book of Joshua chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 7, the book of Joshua chapter 1 verses 2 through 9. If you can, please stand with me as we give honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. I know that this is a collection of several verses. If you cannot stand, we understand that. But if you can, please, as we give honor to Him and His Word. First, in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 7, he says it this way, For he does not know what is to be, for who can tell him how it will be? Joshua chapter 1, verses 2 through 9. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, and you and all this people into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river and the river of the Euphrates, and the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all of the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the blessing of today. Lord, we thank you for the gift of life. Lord, I pray as we move into a new decade, as we move into a new year, Lord, I pray that you bless us here at Buena Vista. Lord, I pray that we keep our eyes upon you and upon you alone. Lord, I pray that our focus be upon what you would have us to do and not what we would like to do ourselves, Lord. I know how easy it is to place our goals before yours, but Father, Lord, as your word commands us, let us now focus upon you and upon you alone. Lord, let us keep your word true to our hearts. Let us keep your words upon our mouth, Lord. Let us keep your words in perspective. Lord, Father, I pray that if there's somebody here who has never known you, Lord, never invited you into their heart and their life, then Lord, I pray that today before they would leave this place, they might see and understand that the greatest way they could start out their future, this next year, this next decade, would be to invite you into their heart and into their life. Lord, Father, we give it all to you now. I ask, Lord, that you but use me as a mouthpiece and as a tool and nothing more for your honor and for your glory. May it be all about you, Lord, and what you choose to do through me. Lord, it's all this we pray and ask in your name. Amen. So there's some things that I want to share with you that we should do and should not do as we look to the future. Some things that we learn from the scriptures that we've shared and read this morning. But out of some other verses of scripture, I want to first share with you three things that God tells us that we should not do when we look or speak or talk about the future. And the first of those things is this. The Lord tells us throughout His Word in reference to the future that we should not boast about it. Amen? The Lord tells us that we should not boast about tomorrow. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1, it says it this way. It says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring."
You know, it's understandable that for us as human beings, for us as people, we talk about tomorrow, we talk about the future. How many of you have things planned out for weeks, months, or even years in advance? Right, most of you do. Now, some of you all are by the seat of your pants. I mean, I would name names, but I won't. I'll refrain. I'll hold back. You know, some of you are by the seat of your pants types of people. And everybody is needed to make the world go round. Everybody's needed to make the church what it is. And some of you all are that way, but some of you all are great planners and you plan for the future. And that is important. But I think what we have to look at here is the verse of Scripture as it explains to us not to boast about tomorrow. Because why? Because we never know what tomorrow will really bring. How many of you have had something planned out to the T, and that it never quite works out as you imagined that it would? All of us, right? Every single one of us have planned things out that did not come to fruition in the ways we thought that they would. And you know what? That's okay. Things happen that way for a reason. I really do believe that. And I've had things happen in my life that were totally the opposite of the way that I thought they would go. And it's okay, and it's all worked out in the meantime, and I thank God for that. You know, when I thought about the fact that when somebody finally told me that we were starting a new decade, I thought about everything that had happened in the last 10 years. You know, I've gone through a lot of things in the last 10 years. I've gone through things that I never expected would happen, changed a career, lost a job, I stopped pastoring churches for a while, and then before it was all said and done, kind of went full circle, and the Lord brought me to come and pastor here. So good things do happen, and the Lord changes up our plans from time to time. One thing that we need to always remember about the future is we should not boast in it. We should be always mindful that God's plans supersede our own. Amen? So don't boast about the plans of tomorrow, because we never know what a day may bring. One of the next things that God's Word teaches us about the future is this. Not only should we not boast about tomorrow, but the Word of God tells us that we should not worry about tomorrow. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, Christ says it this way. He says, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles." I don't know about you, but I've shared with you many times before that I struggle over the years, have struggled immensely and deeply with depression, immensely and deeply with anxiety, and I get anxious about things. My wife will tell you that I get very anxious about things, and sometimes I get anxious about things that don't even make a whole lot of sense. Is anybody else in the same boat? Thank you. I appreciate it. At least some people recognize and understand. And you know, things have happened at my job just over the last few months that I've been tremendously anxious about. But God seemed to work them out in His own good will and His own good time. And that's one of the things that we need to always remember about God and how He operates and how He works, is that there's no sense in us being anxious. Tomorrow can be anxious for itself, because tomorrow will have its own troubles without us creating troubles ourselves in our minds that are oftentimes just ridiculous. I don't know about you, but a lot of times the things that I worry about and become anxious about are just ridiculous. And the things that I learn and the things that I hope that you see as we move into the future is that at Buena Vista, we don't have to be anxious about the future. The future can be anxious for itself. And I know and believe this, God will provide and prepare and fix a future for us. Amen? As He's already done. He's already done such great things. Going on four plus years with you all now, and God has done great things. God has grown us from a small group of people who were faithful and stayed here and stuck together to a church that is now able to breathe. You know, we can breathe financially. We can breathe as brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, just a sigh of relief that things are good and things are positive and people are being saved and people are coming and joining the fellowship of the church, and God is doing good things. So when we look to the future of the church, I think it's important that we don't worry as much as we don't boast. But what else does the Word of God say concerning the future and the don't do's? Not only should we not boast, not only should we not worry, but I also believe it's important as we think about the future that we do not put things off. We're all guilty of this.
We are all procrastinators. In some way, shape, or form, we all procrastinate. For me, when I was still in college, which wasn't that long ago, whether it was my master's or my undergraduate, I always did my homework the day that it was due. Always. It didn't matter. And let me tell you, in my master's program, I wrote 10-page papers weekly. And I did double the load, so I would have to do two classes where usually a 10-page paper was due in each class. I would write 20 pages on the day that it was due. And I always felt like I could never do good work unless I did that. And people wonder, why do you have anxiety? Well, I do it to myself, I guess. It's because we procrastinate. You know, we put things off. And I want to tell you, when we talk about doing the work of the Lord, when we talk about doing what God wants us to do, I think it's vitally important that we do not put things off, that we do things as God commands us, as He calls us to do. And I think the answer sometimes for a lot of people is when God calls us to do something, we say to ourselves, it's not the right season or it's not the right moment. Why should I do this now? Why don't I wait till I'm retired? Why don't I wait till the kids are older? Why don't I wait until I'm more financially stable, more financially set? Or why don't we wait till things are better in the church, when we grow more, when we have more money financially in the budget? Then we make up all kinds of excuses, but in truth and reality, when we talk about the future of the church, when we talk about the future of our service to God, when we talk about the future of our families, I think it's important that we don't put things off and that we do things in a timely fashion. Amen. Another Old Testament reference in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, verse 4. He says it this way. He says, "He who observes the winds will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap." Anybody know what that means? You know, if you didn't farm or you don't have a lot of, you know, experience with farming, you know, this might seem a little bit out there to you. But when this verse of Scripture was written, to the average person of the day, this really made a whole lot of sense. You know, if you did everything by the wind, if you did everything by the way of the clouds, basically the author of the Scripture is saying you'd never get anything done. Because as a farmer, you know there's never ever going to be the absolute perfect time to plant your crop or to harvest it. As many of you all have probably done before, you all have probably cut hay, and then what happens? It rains, right? I mean, that's the thing. And if you keep going by whether or not it's going to rain or if the clouds look a little ominous, you'd never get that hay cut or you'd never get it rolled. That's just kind of the reality of it. I think as Christians and as believers, we shouldn't, you know, be concerned with putting forth excuses. We talk about serving God. We talk about our relationship with Him. We talk about that future. Let us be certain in it and let us move forward. Amen. These are some of the things that the Word of God commands us that we should not do when we talk about the future. But what are some of the verses of Scripture that reference what we should do as we move forward into the future? Now, I really want you to write these down, okay? The last three things, I hope that you take something from it. I hope that you've learned something from it. But I really want you to take something of the do's more than the don't do's, okay? And this now is where we're really going to focus on those verses of Scripture from Joshua. I hope that you are experienced enough Bible readers to know and understand what's going on here in the book of Joshua. You know, of course, in verse 2, it starts out by saying, you know, Moses is dead. You know, he's gone. He says, my servant Moses is dead. And he speaks to Joshua. And he says, now therefore arise and go over this river Jordan, and you and all of this people into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. So Moses is now dead, and if you know the story about what's happened, Moses has led the people out of Egypt, and because of their disobedience to God, they've had to live and wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And if you remember the story, and if you remember what the Word of God says, is Moses and that generation of people would never get to see the Promised Land. They would never get to set foot in it. And basically, they were waiting until Moses has been called home now to be with the Lord. And now the Lord speaks unto Joshua, and He says to Joshua basically this. He says, now I'm going to have you move the people of God forward over the river Jordan and into the promised land that I told Moses that I would give to their generation. And now we give it unto you. This prophecy, this promise is going to be fulfilled. So Joshua is leading God's people into an entirely new, uncharted future. This is something like never had happened before to God's people. It's not like you could look back to your forefathers and gain some sense of knowledge or some direction of understanding about what was going to take place here. This was something totally new, an entirely different future. And I want us to look and see what God told Joshua about how to move forward into that future. He says in verse 3, He says, "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I will give to you, just as I promised to Moses." So here in verses 1 and 2, we see in this story that Moses is now dead, and Joshua is being called up of God to take His people forward. The first thing that God tells us out of these scriptures is this, is that we should seek His face and set His plan into motion. Hear that again. Just like Joshua, we should seek the Lord's face and we should set His, meaning God's plan, into motion. Man, the hour had been waiting for a long time. 40 years they've wandered in the wilderness. And now Moses has been called on to be with the Lord. And now God is calling up Joshua. And Joshua turns to the face of the Lord. And he begins to enact and to set forth the plan that God has had in store for them. God completely uses Joshua in a situation that he's never been in before, an experience that he's never gone through. This is something entirely new. But Joshua is ready for the challenge. And he's ready to move forward and he's ready to accept the future that God has in store. But we know this about Joshua. He looks to God and he's willing to do the plan. You know, here's the great thing about this. Joshua didn't have to create a plan. Joshua didn't have to come up with any great ideas. Everything was already done for Joshua. Here, these are the words that the Lord is speaking to him. He says, "I need you to rise up and I need you to cross over Jordan." And he says, "Every place that your feet tread upon," he says, "I'll give to you just as I promised to Moses." Joshua didn't have to come up with a battle plan. The plan was this: rise up and cross over Jordan, and everywhere that you go, I'll be with you and I'll give you just as I promised Moses before you. Church, all we have to do as we move forward into the future, look to His face and set forth into action His plan. God has a good plan for this place. He has a good plan for this church. I believe that with all my heart. Whether I'm here leading you or whether it's somebody else, it doesn't matter. God has a plan for this place and His plan will be enacted. And He calls us to set forth His plan. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9, it says it this way: "The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." We know this about Joshua. The heart of man's plans is his own way. We know this about Joshua. Joshua turned to the plans of the Lord. I want you as a church to turn to the plans of the Lord and know this: He will establish our steps. Amen? He'll help us to move forward. So the first thing that God tells us about the do's when it comes to our future is we are to seek His face and set forth His plan. But what's the second thing that we can learn from Joshua? As much as we ought to seek His face and set forward the plan of God as we move into the future, I believe we're also commanded to follow His Word. I want you to look with me in verses 7 and 8. They're in Joshua chapter 1. He says, "Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all this that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." As we move forward into the future as a church here at Buena Vista, I believe that the Word of God that we can take from Joshua is this, is that we ought to follow His Word. Just as the Lord has a plan, just as we ought to seek His face, here the Lord tells unto Joshua, "Turn to My Word." He says, "Never let it depart from your mouth. Never let the word, My Word, leave your lips.
Some of the things that I think we ought to do with the Word of God that is expressed to Joshua here is I think the first thing that we ought to be able to do is we ought to talk about it. We ought to talk about the Word of God. How important it is. How great that it is. How mighty that it is. The promises that are included in the Word of God. The Word of God is a beautiful thing to talk about and to share. In the Word of God, there's truth. Amen. In the Word of God, there's life. In the Word of God, there's healing. In the Word of God, there's so much. But how often do we talk about it? Joshua was commanded to talk about it, to tell the people, to share with them the words of God. But as much as we talk about the Word, I believe also that we should think about it. Amen? You know, and not just think about it on Sunday morning or on Sunday night Bible study or on Wednesday night when you come. I believe that we ought to think about the Word of God diligently day in and day out. Have the Word of God constantly on our heart and on our minds. But probably what is the greatest thing that we as believers can do with the Word of God, as Joshua was commanded to do with the Word of God, to practice it. Amen? Practice it. Take the Word of God and be a practitioner of it. Not just think about it, not just read it, but actually apply it to your heart and apply it to your life. You see, it's when you begin to apply things that it works. You know, if you get a rash, and I can use myself as an example because I got a rash here back of this where I have to wear body armor to work. It gets hot and sweaty under my shirt sometimes. I know you really want to know this and all. But it causes a little topical rash, a little irritation, and it doesn't really do anything. It just looks bad. And so I go to the doctor, and the doctor gives me a cream and says, just rub that on there and that'll go away. Well, you know what happens? You rub the cream on there and it goes away. It's an amazing thing. But if I go to the doctor and they say, yeah, put this cream on there and it'll go away, and I never put the cream on there, guess what's not going to happen? The rash is never going to go away, right? You see, the part that has to take place is the application. I can look at the tube, I can think about the tube, but until I squeeze the contents out of the tube and put it on the rash, it's never going anywhere. Amen? Right. The Word of God is really no different. You can think about it, you can talk about it, but until you apply it, it really doesn't seem to do a whole lot of good. Four things that we should do. Seek His face, enact His plan, and as He told Joshua, follow the Word. But what else? He also told Joshua to step out in faith. He says, step out in faith. Three different times in these verses that we read, the Lord tells to Joshua to be courageous. To be courageous, to step out in faith. One of the first hurdles that Joshua had to overcome, and you probably have never even thought much about this, but the first thing that Joshua had to overcome was what? Anybody? He had to cross a river. I mean, it's really as simple as that. How many of you ever thought about that? The Lord said, Joshua, cross over the Jordan River. Has anybody ever looked? I've never seen it personally. But I've had a look through pictures of what the Jordan River looks like. And it's not a shallow river. It's fairly deep and it's fairly wide. The first obstacle that Joshua had to overcome was physically crossing a river. Do you think there was a bridge there? No. Do you think there were rafts? Probably not very good ones. How were they going to cross that river? I have no idea. I couldn't begin to tell you how they were going to cross that river. But God told him to cross it. And as a matter of fact, He told him to take all of God's people by the thousands across the Jordan River. And Joshua was faithful. He didn't question God. He didn't ask of God how. He was just obedient to God. In the verses of Scripture that we read, Joshua told the people to rise up. And he said, this is what God has told us to do, and this is what God has commanded of us. And he told the people to arise, just as God told Joshua to arise. I want to tell you, as we move forward as a church, into next year, we're going to face obstacles. Just as I, and every year since I've been here, I've always preached some message about the future. Every new year. The first New Year that I was ever here with you, I remember the message that I preached. I still got the notes sitting in my office, talking about believing in our future, speaking in our future, and enacting our future. I think about it a lot. And you know what? God has enacted a beautiful future here. And we've moved forward and we've participated in it. And as we continue to move forward, we've got to do so with faith. Step out in faith and know that God is in control and that God will always be in control. There's going to be obstacles, physical obstacles, emotional obstacles, spiritual obstacles. There's going to be all kinds of hurdles for us in 2020 and in the next decade. But be faithful and step out. Amen. Seek His faith. Set forward into motion His plan. Follow His Word. Step out and do it in faith. What's the fourth thing that we learn from Joshua? He says that we should also be strong and be courageous. As I already said three times just in these nine verses that we read together, the Word of God says, be courageous. Why did He say to be courageous? He had a river to cross. There were seven nations of enemies that Joshua would have to face. There was uncertainty. For 40 years they wandered around in this wilderness waiting until God's promise would be enacted. Moses is called home and now it's Joshua's time. He's doing something that no man's ever done before. And I believe he probably is nervous because he saw what the unfaithfulness of the generation before had brought them. I can't imagine what it would have been like to have been Joshua. But the Lord told him, be courageous. Verses 7 and 9, there in the verses of Scripture that we read, says it this way. Verse 7 says, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left that you may have good success wherever you go. He says in verse 9, have I not commanded you? So He's commanded once already and now He asks him the question again. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Look at what else He says. He says, do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. As we move into the future as a body of believers, we've got to be faithful. We've got to be strong. We've got to be courageous. Don't be dismayed and don't be frightened. There are going to be uncertainties. There are going to be things that we don't always immediately see or understand the answer to. Things that we just don't know how it's going to work out. But I promise you, it will work out. And this message just isn't applicable to our life as a church. This message is applicable to your life as you go through this next year. Whether you talk about your home life, your personal life, work life, everything in between, I believe God is telling us to seek His faith and set forth His plan, not just as a church, but in your life individually. We are commanded to follow His Word, to keep His Word in our hearts, on our minds, and in our mouths, and constantly practicing it. We as followers are commanded to step out in faith. And we're told to be strong and courageous as you move forward in your life with whatever it is that God is calling you to do. Do these things. Amen? Do these things. So our praise and our worship team comes. As we get ready to close, we're going to close quickly. Maybe you're here and 2019 has been an immensely difficult year for you. Maybe it's been a year that has encompassed loss. It has been a year that's just been filled with difficulties and hardships and trials. Maybe you don't know what this next year is going to be like. You don't know how you're going to make it through the next year. Well, remember the things that we've looked at here. Seek His face and move forward with His plan. I ask of you to turn to His Word. I tell you to step out with His plan, but do it in faith. And I tell you to be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. Maybe you need some of God's strength. Maybe you just need God to come and just lead you and guide you in the direction that you need to go.
This altar is open to you this morning. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to pray for you. However the Lord is speaking to your heart this morning, you come. But most of all, if you have never invited Christ into your heart, I tell you this, that it is impossible to have a future without Him. Yes, there'll be days, weeks, months, and maybe even years ahead, but that's not the kind of future I'm talking about. There is no eternal, forever future without Him. Would you not invite Christ into your heart? Maybe you have questions. Maybe you have thought about it. Maybe you're here and you know that you're lost, but you just don't know where to go next. I'd love to share with you how that you might be saved. Love to share with you how that you might invite Christ into your heart. You come this morning. Father, Lord, as we close out this time of preaching, Lord, as we come now to a time of response, Lord, I pray that people be obedient. Lord, I pray, Father, that we would seek Your face and Your face alone. Lord, as we close out the year and another decade, Lord, as we prepare for this new year, this new future, Lord, I pray that You do great things in the life of Buena Vista. Lord, I pray, Father, that You continue to grow us and to multiply us, not just in numbers, not just financially, Lord, but I pray that You grow us and multiply us spiritually. Lord, make us stronger. Make us more faithful. Make us more dedicated. Let us always see and know that we should be courageous. Let us not be dismayed, but Lord, let us be strong in You. Lord, if there's someone here who's never invited You into their life, Lord, I pray they come. Lord, maybe there's somebody here who's just struggling. Lord, I pray that they come. Whatever Your will would be this morning, we pray it be done. All this we ask in Your holy and precious name. Amen.